Hall. We'll have more updates available every 15 minutes here on the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis. It's 10 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Aaron Katursky, live at the remnants of the I-35W bridge in Minneapolis.
We're concerned about the structural stability of the bridge. Still, the pieces that remain off the ground.
And so Fire Chief Jim Clack says a slow and methodical search and recovery effort is underway now that could take 3 days. President Bush commented moments ago on what was one of the worst bridge collapses in American history.
We in the federal government must respond and respond robustly to help the people there.
ABC's Ann Compton has more now at the White House.
Early this morning, Aaron, President Bush telephoned the mayor and governor with condolences, but his big question still had no answers. What in the world could have caused a federal interstate bridge to crumble? He's dispatched engineering and environmental teams, and Laura Bush is flying to the site tomorrow when she arrives for a conference. Aaron.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. A Minnesota congressman will ask today for $250 million to help his state recover. A team of federal investigators is already on the way. Sheriff Rich Stanek suspects no foul play.
All indications are collapse, not an act of someone doing it, but we've got investigators working it along with Minneapolis police.
The federal government noted structural deficiencies with this bridge in 2005, but a state inspection a year later noted no major problems. For Casey Dingies at the American Society for Civil Engineers, the collapse raises questions about the nation's infrastructure.
I do think this is another wake-up call for the nation in terms of dealing with the aging infrastructure in all aspects of our lives, whether it's underground water systems, bridges, aviation.
But he says people crossing a bridge in their cars today should have no fear for their lives. We're live in Minneapolis at the scene of the bridge collapse. I'm Aaron Katursky, and you're listening to ABC News.
Fixed or adjustable rate mortgage? That's the big question for so many real estate buyers and borrowers. Here's my simple formula. If you plan to stay in your home for any length of time, generally 5 years or more, consider going fixed. You'll never have to worry about changing rates, and in today's environment, you may actually get a better rate than an adjustable. In a moment, I'll talk about when to use an adjustable.
Today's advice from the Millionaire Zone's Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree.com. Now is the perfect time to refinance with LendingTree before your adjustable rate mortgage payments increase. Visit LendingTree.com today or call 1-800-555-TREE and you could lower your monthly payments. When banks compete, you win. See website or call for sponsorship details and licensing.
Here's where adjustable rate mortgages make sense. If rates on adjustables are at least 1 percentage point lower than fixed rate loans, they may save you a bundle, especially if you plan to move in a few years. Take my friend Trey and his wife, who plan to have more kids and move to a bigger home. They chose the lower rate loan, and they came out way ahead.
Degrees in the Twin Cities at 10:03. Good morning, I'm Bob Berglund, AM 1500 KSTP News. Senators Norm Coleman and Amy Klobuchar this morning called on the Federal Highway Administration to immediately release emergency relief funding for the Interstate 35W bridge disaster. The funding would be for emergency restoration of the bridge. They're requesting that the Senate increase the allowable funding cap to above $100 million. Meanwhile, Congressman Jim Oberstar says he will introduce legislation in the House to direct at least $250 million to replace the bridge. Oberstar is chairman of the House Transportation Committee and as a result has some clout. He says he'll try to get the bill through the House today. Oberstar, too, says the collapse shows the need to invest in the nation's transportation infrastructure. Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek has some requests from the public. For one thing, please stay away from the area.
We're asking for three things from the public. One, stay away from the scene. Let the rescue and recovery workers do their job. There's a number of people that still need to respond to the scene, a number of pieces of equipment we need to get here, but they need to be able to get in and out with traffic flow. Secondly, the Red Cross has asked for donations of blood. We did have a number of people hurt during this tragedy, and they need donations of blood. They can do it at their local hospital. They can do it at the local Red Cross. And I think the third part is the Victim and Family Recovery Center, which is located at the Holiday Inn Metrodome, which is where families and others are gathering or contacting their loved ones to figure out what exactly happened. We still have a number of people unaccounted for. And that's where we're directing those resources.
And that has been a busy place. Pastors and counselors are on hand at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. More than 80 people were there early this morning, awaiting word on those unaccounted for. The Archdiocese of St. Paul of Minneapolis has scheduled two prayer services at noon today for victims of the collapse and their families. The Minneapolis service will be at St. Olaf Catholic Church downtown. The St. Paul service will be at the Cathedral of St. Paul. People of all faiths are welcome at the services. The big Minnesota Fringe Festival announced they'll open today despite the collapse. In a news release, festival organizers said the thoughts of the Fringe staff and artists are with those affected by the disaster, but the show will go on. Any schedule changes will be posted on their website, fringefestival.org. Patrick Hammer's 5 Eyewitness News forecast, sunny at 87 today, sunny at 86 tomorrow. 74 now at AM 1500 KSDP. Back to you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob Berglund. This is Bob Davis at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station. The governor is speaking right now at the press conference, and we're just going to kind of roll into that, and we'll see what he has to say, and then we'll go from there.
And the general accounts today are going to become much more personal. You're going to see the identities, perhaps in the coming days, of people who have lost their lives in this tragedy or have been injured, the accounts of how that happened and the pain and the burden of that is going to be visited upon families in Minnesota. And we want them to know that the city and the state and the federal officials have them and others all across Minnesota and all across the country are praying for those families and are thinking of them in these hours and days and months of tragedy and very, very difficult times. In terms of the response from here, obviously, as the mayor indicated, the effort now is on recovery. That's going to have to take place in concert with the NTSB investigation. As you'll see in just a moment, the leader of the NTSB investigation team and the NTSB overall is here. He will provide some comments, but what he is indicating is their investigation will take place. They will be treating this area and the area of the bridge essentially as an investigation scene or in some respects a crime scene, so they want to be careful about how and when things are moved in addition to the recovery effort. And then once that is completed, then, of course, the debris removal process will kick in. And we've been in concert with the federal officials. I want to thank our congressional delegation, Senators Klobuchar and Senator Coleman and Secretary Peters and Congressman Ellison and all the other members of the congressional delegation. They have been wonderful as partners in this. And the secretary will describe more in just a moment of the federal government's offer of support and help. And it's significant and it's prompt, and we appreciate that. But, of course, that once the debris removal takes place, that will allow us then to begin the rebuilding process of this bridge. And we'll get to that in due course, but it's going to be a significant effort. Senator Pogemiller, the leader of the Minnesota Senate, and Speaker Kelleher are here as well. And, of course, we will do whatever it takes to move this along on an emergency basis. And then finally, of course, there's going to be a lot of disruption in terms of traffic patterns, economic activity downtown and beyond. So we are already working on and deploying alternative plans for transportation, transit, and the like that will hopefully alleviate some of that in the coming weeks and months. But with that, I guess we'll turn it over to the Secretary of Transportation. We're glad that she's here so promptly, Secretary Mary Peters.
That is the Governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, speaking from the scene of the bridge collapse this morning. They're having a press conference. We've got the Transportation Secretary down there, the Congressional delegation, of course, Klobuchar and Norm Coleman, Keith Ellison, the whole state, you know, legislature, you know, people that are involved in the representation and so forth. And the debate, or I suppose you should say, I should say the discussion about this will start to be about recovery and then rebuilding and what that process will be. You heard the president right before the break. We had to break away, but he sort of expressed condolences and then went into this discussion about where is the transportation bill, we need to get on this, and then you're going to start to hear this conversation, which will develop about infrastructure and spending money on infrastructure. And instead of infrastructure, they really will say transportation. And we've been talking about this all morning. First, the theories, of course, about the collapse of the bridge, and second, this question about what we're spending on infrastructure. But they don't say infrastructure, they say transportation. And so you sort of heard one caller allude to it, that if we didn't have all this congestion, the bridge wouldn't have collapsed. I am very concerned and dubious about the amount of money that they spend for quote-unquote transportation when so much of that money is diverted to projects, for example, into light rail or to commuter rail projects, when they maybe ought to be focused on roads, highways, bridges, and so forth. The other thing is they keep talking about the condition of the bridges. Well, I've seen more than one study that indicates that the bridges in Minnesota are, I would have to say, hardly deteriorated. Certainly some of the rural bridges are at issue. I'm not sure about the urban bridges. You recall that study that, and unfortunately I don't remember the specifics of the name even of the study, but I remember we had the guy on, and we talked about the study about urban congestion, and we talked about the condition of the bridges. That report also showed that the condition of the bridges in the urban area were anything but deteriorated. There are a lot of questions about what to do about transportation as it pertains to congestion, as it pertains to growth, as it pertains to the amount of people coming into the city in the long term. And, you know, we can talk about that as well. I just am very dubious when these guys talk about transportation. What they're talking about is trains. There's no indication that trains take cars off the roads, number one. And number two, there's no indication that weight and congestion had anything to do with this bridge collapse. So with that, we'll just open the phone lines once again, 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500. Already, the Department of Transportation is talking about a $5 million emergency fund transfusion, which will help us with this whole thing. Norm Coleman is now speaking, and we'll take both Norm Coleman and Senator Klobuchar as well. So here's Senator Coleman from the scene.
I hope that we continue to hold those who have suffered loss from this horrific tragedy in our prayers. I think it's very, very important. There are still some very tough days that lie ahead as we move into the recovery phase. I have to say that as a United States Senator and Senator Klobuchar and Congressman Ellison, I all said the same thing. Really proud of this community and the way they responded. General Mark Rosenker is here, and he is the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. I know he'll speak with you as part of this group, perhaps do a discussion later, but he talked to me as I came upon the scene about the acts of heroism from the first responders, the acts of heroism from private citizens, and the impact that had on saving lives. So we're just proud of this community and the way they responded to this this terrible, terrible tragedy. A couple of thoughts on what we can do at the federal level. Secretary Peters talked about $5 million, and that's just to kind of get some things moving. One of the realities is that money technically is not available for bus service. We need bus service, and the first thing the Secretary said is, we're going to waive that. Don't worry about that rule. There's $100 million that is available for rebuilding. It's 100% from the federal government in the first 180 days. The fund, where that money comes from, it has money in it, but it may well be used for other projects, and I'll let Senator Klobuchar talk more about that, but both in the House and Senate side, we will moving forward to make sure that that money is available. We will rebuild, and the federal government will be a full partner with the folks at the local level to make sure we rebuild. And the last point ultimately then is to find out is what happened. What caused this unbelievable, almost incomprehensible tragedy? Chairman Rosenker was here in the early morning hours. His team has already begun to assemble. They're on the job. They will go through the process of figuring out how this occurred. It may take a little while, but we need to understand that. We need to understand that, so to make sure that this type of tragedy never happens anywhere again. And so, from the federal level, we are full partners. I even had a conversation. I got a call of condolence from the head of the Small Business Administration, Director Steve Preston.
Yeah, that's Norm Coleman, Senator from Minnesota, talking from the scene regarding what's going on about relief efforts. And when Senator Klobuchar comes up, we'll take her as well. Let's get some calls. Jim, you're on AM 1500. Good morning. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt because you've got all the answers coming in and everyone's looking for
it. Well, you know, everybody's got input, so that's cool.
But I never heard anyone yet speak about who the designers were and why they think it went down like an accordion piece by piece and why they would ever design that type again. That's my only thought here this morning.
Well, when you say why it went down like an accordion piece by piece...
Well,
that...
three sections are one went down and they
right.
all...
Well, I mean, that, does that mean that they designed it poorly, or what does
well,
that mean?
Well, I would say that they would happen to know why it would go the other way, so they might learn for the next time they try to construct something like that. I just wondered what the designers of that
Okay, good question.
Would be a good answer to.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Klobuchar is going to be speaking now from the scene live from Minneapolis. Let's go ahead and bring Amy up. Amy Klobuchar, Senator from Minnesota. Good morning.
I was so proud to be a part of this state. The whole world watched as this city and this state came together. You saw the woman diving over and over again into the water to look for victims. When we got here today, driving down 35W, there was already a billboard up, already a billboard telling people to take another road. You open up the paper, it says 25 extra buses. People came together. Faced with the tragedy, I was telling the sheriff that we practiced this when I was the prosecutor, the county attorney. We would have these run-throughs of what we would do in a disaster, and we never knew that it would actually happen, and it did. A bridge in America just shouldn't fall down. And that's why we have called for this investigation. I'm very pleased that the National Transportation Safety Board chair is already here conducting that investigation, getting the evidence that we need. We're going to have to be patient with that investigation. It's going to take time because we have to get to the bottom of this. The last thing I wanted to talk about is the work that we need to do in Washington. I've already talked with Senator Reid and Senator Durbin and Senator Schumer and Senator Patty Murray, who's head of the Appropriations Transportation Committee in the United States Senate. She actually sent a staff member with us today. We are going to work to make sure that the resources are there to not only help with the immediate recovery, but for the long-term rebuilding of this bridge. As Senator Coleman mentioned, there are caps that go in place. I think it's $100 million. If necessary, we will work to get a law passed to waive that cap. A bridge in America just shouldn't fall down. We are going to go back there today and meet with our fellow senators, work with Congressman Oberstar, who fortunately heads up the committee that deals with us, work with Congressman Ellison to make sure that the resources are there from the federal government.
That is again, Senator Amy Klobuchar speaking from the scene in Minneapolis, and we want to make sure we get her and Coleman on, as well as the governor. Hopefully we'll get Keith Ellison on here in the near future, the 5th District Congressman whose district this occurred in. Get a traffic update from the President of Traffic, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Olson at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station.
Thanks, Bob, and good news here. Other than a five-minute flow on East 494 approaching France Avenue down in Bloomington, the system is actually running normal right now, but obviously we have big changes on the freeway system today, starting with the converting of Highway 280 into a full-blown, grown-up freeway. All of the stoplights have been turned off along Highway 280. Broadway and County B are closed at 280. The goal here is to get you from 35W to I-94 or vice versa as fast as possible, and it really worked this morning. And that, I think that's basically thanks to all you folks in the northern suburbs who come into Minneapolis every morning. You used your alternates and you stayed home. One of those alternates would be South 35W to West 694 to East 94 and then into downtown Minneapolis. The other obvious alternate, East 694 over to South 35E and then pick up West 94 in downtown St. Paul. Take that over to the Mill City. But as I said, there are no delays on the system right now. And the real test on this, Bob, is going to come next week when everybody actually goes back to work. And then it's going to be a struggle for us. That's all I have for you right now, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ken Olson, traffic at AM 1500 KSDP. We'll keep doing updates. Keith Ellison is speaking from the scene. Let's do that now.
Talk about rescue and recovery, but also rebuilding and also finding out what happened. We're going to face this tragedy bravely, as we always do. So again, it's good to be a Minnesotan today, and it's good to be an American today, and we have to stand together, and we will be successful, and we will look back at this tragedy with sorrow, but also with a sense that if we come together, we can come through anything. Thank you.
That is Congressman Ellison from the 5th District at KSDP. We're talking about the bridge from the scene. And we wanted to get all those people on, if we could, from the scene, speaking about this. Governor, we heard the president before the top of the hour, and we'll continue to sort of cover these things. And the main thing here is try to get as much new information as possible. We know already there's going to be immediately $5 million in funding from the government for whatever we need to use it for. Secondly, they're talking about rebuilding the bridge. We're talking about an investigation to find out what happened, And we are also listening to your theories as well. Now the chairman of the NTSB is on, so let's just get a quick sense of what he thinks at this point.
I think it was displayed in courage and heroism last night. And I think it's indicative of the same kind of courage and heroism that we see in the United States from the East Coast to the West Coast. And on behalf of my colleagues at the National Transportation Safety Board, I want to offer our most sincere condolences to those that lost loved ones last night. And our thoughts and our prayers are for a speedy recovery of those who were injured. The National Transportation Safety Board launched a GO team late last night and early this morning to Minneapolis, consisting of 19 investigators. They will represent a number of disciplines, from bridge engineering to materials, highway engineering, to survivability, survival factors, human factors. We have our family assistance department here as well. And we're even bringing in the head of our materials laboratory from Washington. He will be here at 1 o'clock this afternoon. This investigation has already begun, and we will begin to try to give you as much information as we can get. We will do at least one and maybe two briefings a day as we learn and as this investigation progresses. But with that said, this will be a complex investigation. There are engineering issues that we're going to have to determine. There are materials issues which we're going to be studying. And they don't come quickly. First thing we must do is recover the pieces. And after we recover these pieces of the bridge, we will begin actually trying to reassemble them, not in a way where it's actually standing, but kind of in a jigsaw puzzle way, flat, so we can look at the various parts of this bridge and understand what made it fall down last night. With that, I want to turn it back over to the mayor or the chief. Mark Rosenkerr, M-A-R-K.
That is Mark Rosenkerr, who is the NTSB chairman from the scene in Minneapolis by where the bridge went down, talking about the investigation and how this is not going to be something that we can answer completely and totally immediately, although they'll make as much information available to us as possible. We are also entertaining your theories and you know, your personal stories regarding the bridge collapse. 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500 at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station.
How does it feel to listen to Twins baseball on AM 1500? Imagine yourself driving down 35W. You've got the game on. Bottom of the eighth. Twins are down by one. Justin Morneau steps to the plate, and all you're thinking is, we sure could use a big fly here. How does it feel to listen to Twins baseball on AM 1500? Follow the Twins all season long here on AM 1500 KSDP.
News doesn't always happen at 5, 6, or 10. When it's happening around the block, across the street from where you work, where you live, 5 Eyewitness News is there. When it's important to you and your family, we go head-to-head with the people who are making news to help it all make sense. When you want to know more, we stay with the story every step of the way, getting every question answered. That's when a story is more news. That's what we do every day. 5 Eyewitness News. We are more news.
Hey, it's Harmon Killebrew for Lampert Exteriors. One of my favorite memories of playing in the old Met Stadium was a chance to hit some home runs. And I did that in 1962, 63, and 64. Not a bad record to be proud of. Thank you, Minnesota. Just like Lampert Yards, who've been serving Minnesota since 1887, they've grown into a multifaceted company, now providing the best in exterior products for your home, such as Marvin Windows, GAF Roofing, and Georgia Pacific Siding. Lampert Exteriors is the premier replacement Marvin window dealer of choice, and it's their own crews that provide the installation. No subcontractors. That's why Lampert's has so many satisfied customers in the Twin Cities. Check out Marvin Windows for your home today. That's perfection. That's Lampert Exteriors, part of Lampert Yards in Minnesota since 1887. Lampert Exteriors, call 651-695-3680. That's 651-695-3680. Or go to LampertExteriors.com and tell them Harmon Killebrew sent you.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it during the August Savings Event at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From August 2nd through the 6th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save $8 a gallon on Duration coatings and 25% on select wall coverings, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, August 6th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
From one talk about diamonds...
Push the ball towards first base, a great bump.
...to another.
Buying a diamond is one of the most complicated purchases you'll make.
Listen every Friday morning at 8:05 as manager Ron Gardenhire is talking Twins with Willie and Jay. Brought to you by RF Moeller Jeweler. An unforgettable diamond from an unforgettable jeweler.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
All right, the continuing coverage of the bridge collapse in Minneapolis at AM 1500 KSTP, the Talk Station. Jim, you're on AM 1500. You're a structural engineer. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, here's my thoughts. I watched the film this morning that showed the bridge actually collapsing. Now, the first guy that called you, the other guy named Jim that just called a few minutes ago, he was curious about how the bridge would collapse in an accordion type. It's really not an accordion type situation. In an arc, the whole thing that holds that arc together is the center, because all your pressure is really related to the upper third on either end of the bridge. So like on the north and the south end of the bridge, when you go about a third way up the arc, all of your pressure is located in there. So if there are stress fractures in that upper third in either side, and that starts to give, then when the center of the bridge actually fell out, then what it does is it actually acts as a whiplash effect. When the center falls out, everything else behind it on both sides crumbles.
Yes, and that's why it looked like, you know, what do you call that? That's why it looked like a collapse. But it was the middle that fell out first, right?
Right. So then everything, when the middle falls out, that says that all the structural integrity at them points on the upper thirds of either side of the bridge is where the stress happened to be the most at, and it gave way. So the center fell out, and then everything just kind of whiplashes backwards. And when it whiplashes backwards and everything, that's why everything fell the way it did. Now, the other point that I wanted to make is that a bridge is also built, especially in an arch, they're also built to disperse the weight evenly across all the lanes.
So the weight question is what does that mean?
Well, in an arch type bridge, weight disbursement across the whole face of the bridge, the whole top, the road, across both lanes, going both directions, that is calculated on how much weight disbursement is in there equally, like if you'll have traffic running on both sides. But being the situation that it was, that they were working on the road, then one side of the bridge really didn't have any traffic on it at all. And the other side was down to one lane, and everything was on really one side of that bridge. So all that weight was dispersed to one section of the bridge. Now, in 1967, when they did that, they probably didn't have the same qualities and standards that they do nowadays. So chances are, they really didn't take that into account somewhere down the line. What happens if we put all the weight to this one side, and we have, like, semis and buses and everything else in this one side of the bridge, and then we have a minor structural crack or something like that in one side, will it hold? They probably didn't go into that then, which they would do now.
Well, I suppose, top of my head, I would say, why were they working on it during drive time? Maybe that wasn't such a good idea. You know, and I really hate to speculate, but that's one of the questions I'd be asking. You know, why?
Well, My idea is that if they were going to work on that bridge, knowing that it was old as it was and it wasn't up to the standards and the qualities that it would be nowadays, that they probably should have shut 35W down on the bridge.
Well, they were doing that on the weekends, right? They were killing it off both ways on the weekends, right?
Right, and that was a good thing to do. But when you start removing, this is the other thing to think about. On the northbound lanes, they were removing concrete, so that means they're taking weight off.
Another guy mentioned that, too.
Yeah, they're taking weight off of that side. Now you've got all the vehicles on the south side that's putting all that extra weight on, plus the concrete. So I'm saying that they're probably going to find out that there were stress fractures in the bridge in the main points of the structural integrity points of where they had to be, and that all that weight dispersed on that one side, them fractures went through, and if you actually look at the film, it actually looks that it's almost tilting to that side right off the bat to begin with.
Thank you, Jim. appreciate the call. Jim's another structural engineer. It's just interesting to hear their theories on this. Not that everybody, you know, I mean, he knows more than I do about it, that's for sure. Eric, you're on AM 1500.
Hi, Bob. This morning, just to give you a little background myself, I am a bridge inspector, so I have a little bit of the vocabulary. I did read a 2001 report.
Yeah, that's on linked on a website, yes.
Yep, and what's curious is, and of course, somebody who works with bridges, I was really interested in just trying to find out, you know, as much as I could, but it really seems like there were a lot of things that added up to this catastrophe. The fact that, yes, there were cracks in the girders. 1997, they were found, and they tried to repair what they could. But also, there weren't any redundancies built into that bridge.
Now, according to that report, they did it. Even though there were cracks and so forth, didn't that report say that they weren't critical, and that it was they went ahead and passed the bridge on in both of those reports, correct?
Right. Again, you know, the thing that'll bring any bridge down is time and repeated loading. And when you talk about weight, that's every time a bridge collapses, it has to do with weight or force or something, because gravity will bring a bridge down if it's broken. And that bridge was effectively broken. And
when was it effectively broken?
Well, it's hard to say when it broke, but like I said, repeated loads on a beam causing cracks, fractures, will eventually entirely wear out that beam. And without a redundant element to make
so
up
does that report
wrong.
Does that report that you read show that there were repeated cracks and fractures that made the bridge critically you know, ineffective, or what do you want to call it, that made the bridge critical?
I'm not going to you know, I'll kick my coverage here as far as what I know about the bridge, but this is just some things that I picked out of the report. It's interesting to note that there were cracks, that there weren't redundancies built into the bridge, and that the deck, which theoretically could have helped maintain the integrity of that bridge, had there been a failure in one of the girders, was under repair. So even
yeah.
the stresses.
Yeah.
Of that,
can I ask you another question? Do we work on this stuff in the middle of the night? Do we work on this stuff 24 hours a day? Maybe
yeah,
we should not have been doing this during drive time.
Well, in fact, the crew that was on there was there for a night shift, effectively, because of the temperature.
Oh, they just come on, okay.
That that's required for placement of the concrete or the overlay at that
All right.
time.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the call. Once again, we're just listening to people's theories about it. And also, you know, if you have any personal stories that you knew any people that were down there, I'd love to hear some stories about riding that bridge down. I thought that was just amazing. And we're also having this ongoing conversation about what we put our money into in terms of infrastructure. Is it transportation? Is it trains? You know I don't like them, but that doesn't mean that you wouldn't have your say on it. 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500. Let's get a news update. Bob Berglund standing by at AM 1500 KSTP.
And good morning. 10:32 and 74 degrees. Governor Pawlenty appeared with several other politicians this morning to discuss the aftermath of the bridge disaster. And what happens now?
So there's going to be a lot of disruption in terms of traffic patterns, economic activity downtown and beyond. So we are already working on and deploying alternative plans for transportation, transit, and the like that will hopefully alleviate some of that in the coming weeks and months.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters got here this morning as well.
I've asked our bridge and our engineering staff from the Federal Highway Administration to provide their full support to the state and to the National Transportation Safety Board as they analyze what happened here. My experts, my staff, including Federal Highway Administrator Rick Kapka, will stay here on ground to provide that kind of assistance.
And Peter says local officials will have the full support of federal agencies to get things back to normal.
They're prepared to provide financial and technical assistance needed to keep both the road and the river traffic moving and to get this bridge rebuilt safely and as soon as possible.
Impossible to know at this point how long that will take. Governor Pawlenty said earlier, best case scenario, at least a year. This traffic note, the parking ramp for the University of Minnesota West Bank office building has been closed to aid in the bridge recovery efforts. The office building itself is open and operational. Because of congestion in the area, university staff who work in the West Bank office building are directed to park in the university parking lot C97 at Washington and 11th Avenue South.
Lot C86 adjacent to the law school also will be available for parking. Kenny Olson still here with some more tips on how to get around.
Well, thanks, Bob. And yeah, that reminds me, we should probably mention these closures around the scene. West River Parkway between 13th Avenue and 1st Street is closed. That's on the south side of the river. On the north side of the river, 2nd Street southeast between 8th Avenue and 11th is closed. And, of course, the 10th Avenue Bridge is closed between University and 2nd Street. That runs parallel to 35W. Metro Transit is offering additional bus service from the North Metro Park and Ride locations into downtown Minneapolis. That's in the mornings and the afternoons. 25 extra buses have been pressed into service at the following locations: Foley Boulevard, Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, 63rd Avenue in Brooklyn Center, Rosedale Shopping Center, and Roseville City Halls. Once again, both the morning and afternoon commutes, you can find your extra buses there. That is your AM 1500 real-time traffic. Continuing coverage of the 35W bridge disaster on AM 1500, KSDP continues after this.
It's rush hour. The bus is packed. You've got a seat, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 14 more stops to go.
Ugh, I should have used...
Wait, you already know you should have used Preparation H. But for extra relief, use Preparation H medicated wipes first. Unlike most ordinary wipes that just clean, Preparation H medicated wipes relieve while you clean. Then apply your Preparation H.
Move to the back, please.
Ugh, I should have used Preparation H medicated wipes.
From Preparation H, the relief expert. Use as directed.
1 month you're making your mortgage payment with no problem. The next month, your rate jumps so drastically, you have to decide what to cut out just so you don't lose your home. I'm Deanna Doherty, president of American Equity Mortgage, and if you feel stuck in a mortgage you suddenly can't afford, listen carefully to this message. We've spent the last 15 years helping people in situations like yours find financial relief, and we can help you immediately.
Find financial relief now. Call 952-838-9900. That's 952-838-9900.
One of our experienced loan officers will talk to you right now and show you how your mortgage payment can be manageable again so you can return to enjoying your life.
Call 952-838-9900 or visit AmericanEquity.com. Celebrating 15 years in business by granting 15 wishes with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Equal housing lender. Additional restrictions apply. FHA approved lender.
The Talk Station. AM 1500 KSTV.
AM 1500 KSTV, the Talk Station. This is Bob Davis, continuing coverage of the bridge collapse. Your views at 651-646-8255, toll free 877-615-1500. A lot of attention now being paid to this question of the injuries, the casualties, and the number of people who have died versus the people who are just injured. And so far, it's less than what we thought, which is good. Here is Dr. Joseph Clinton at HCMC earlier talking about the types of injuries that come from this.
Types of injuries are typical blunt type of injuries from motor vehicle trauma or fall, which means injuries to the head and face and extremities. The problem with these types of injuries is you don't know the extent of the internal injuries.
You know, I just think it's amazing. We talked about this earlier. I know Jay was talking about this morning with Willie. The sheer drama of the stories of people riding the bridge down, I thought was really amazing. And I wanted to say that, you know, when you watch this stuff on television and it happens someplace else, you kind of just, you watch it, you go, wow, isn't that incredible, and you kind of move on. And it's an interesting experience when you see something like this happen, and the very first thing you think about is, gee, I wonder if so-and-so was on the bridge, or I haven't heard from somebody, are they okay, maybe they were there. You start immediately thinking about people that you know that may have been injured, and so you really know then that it's a disaster that sort of happened close to home. So I know there's lots of stories and lots of just people being amazed at what happened. Again, we played for you parts of the press conference. Klobuchar, Norm Coleman, Congressman Ellison, the governor, Archie Ryback, and many others talking about there's going to be immediately $5 million in aid from the government that will be able to be used directly for whatever we need to deal with. $100 million in rebuilding, and then on it goes from there. The NTSB is on scene. They will be conducting an investigation, which will be rather extensive and complex. They will try to tell us what's going on. going on as they do it, but the actual conclusions will not be available for some time. We've spent about an hour now on theories about why it collapsed. Some of them are pretty interesting, and some of them are pretty informed. Some of them are crazy, but we have to keep an open mind about that. I think it's I would be reluctant to say why. I am not real happy about the suggestion that immediately we need to start spending money on all of our roads and bridges because they shouldn't come down and they're all a mess. I'm not sure that I would go with that as a generalization. So I hope that people will try to not keep turn this into a political attempt to spend a fortune on things that may or may not result in improving anything. We can talk about congestion. We can talk about all these things, and we will. So that's kind of where we're at now. 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500. Steve, you're on AM 1500. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. The thing that's got me a little confused is, seeing as it was rush hour and it's 35W, we haven't seen anything or even heard a word mentioned about traffic camera coverage.
Oh, yeah. We've already seen the traffic camera coverage of the bridge collapse. In fact, that's what people have been talking about with the spectacular. That was what the guy mentioned about the accordion. So we do have traffic footage of the bridge collapse.
Okay, I've been watching it most of the time since last night.
Yeah, Flyby Witness News started airing it. Flyby Witness News started airing the traffic cam coverage about it was around 7 o'clock this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you later. Yeah, that was one of the first things everybody wanted to see, was if we could do that. And I'm sure there's from different angles. I don't know about the other angles. Obviously, you know, you got to look at that first to see if there's anything that people may not want to see, I would imagine. But it was pretty spectacular. Eric, you're on AM 1500.
Hi there. Yeah, I have an interesting story about yesterday. I was just talking to someone this morning, and they told me about their cousin who's a construction worker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually working on the site. I guess his shift was done at 6, and he was 5 minutes away when the bridge collapsed. And he told his cousin, my friend, that all the construction guys were concerned. They had been feeling vibrations, and the bridge just didn't feel stable at all. And so they were just joking amongst themselves most of the day that, you know, is this thing going to hold? And no one was really sure about it. But
really?
But there was concern. So
they felt vibrations that were unusual as they worked on the thing.
Yes, that's what he said. And, yeah, they were all joking about, you know, is this thing going to hold? No one was really sure, so.
Wow.
Yeah, just thought I'd pass that on to you and your listeners.
Thank you, sir. That was a great story. I'm sure they're going to be focusing a lot on the construction, frankly. I'm not surprised about that. 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-15. We're entertaining lots of theories and stories about why it collapsed, as well as any stories you might have. Again, I was amazed at watching that traffic camera footage and actually seeing people ride that down. I mean, when you look at the height that thing is in the air, you know, can you imagine being on that bridge as it came down? And I'll tell you what a godsend was, if there is one, it's that the thing didn't tip over. It went straight down. And I think that's probably the main thing.
I'll never again ask you to pull my finger.
I will never watch another episode of The Three Stooges.
I will always remember our anniversary, and this time I mean it.
You'd be surprised what some guys will do to be able to play a round of golf.
I will go to every chick flick you want to, and I'll like it.
Good thing they don't have to sacrifice to get the best golf advice. Available weekday afternoons at 5:10 from Jock Olson.
I will start asking you if what I'm wearing is okay.
They're quick, they're free, and you won't have to jump through any hoops to get them. Jock Olson's Golf Tips, brought to you each weekday by Federated Insurance.
As a result of recent hailstorms, your insurance company may owe you thousands of dollars to pay for brand new roofing, siding, and other items. In order to make sure you get paid for all the damage and make sure your repairs are done right and on time, you need a contractor with the experience to make it happen. You need Burco's 3R Systems. Burco's 3R Systems owner Larry Burtis is Minnesota's most experienced roofing and siding hail damage contractor, with over 35 years of proven experience plus 20 years of real insurance industry experience. With Burco's 3R Systems, you get a real insurance expert working on your behalf to make sure you get paid for all of the hail damage, damage that inexperienced contractors regularly overlook. Want to make sure you get paid for all of your hail damage and save hundreds of dollars on upgrades? Call Burco's 3R Systems today at 952-435-0400. That's 952-435-0400. Or go to burcos.com, burcos.com, and see what Burco's 3R Systems can do for you.
Half off is not a good idea for everything.
I'm not wearing any pants.
Half off your bill for dinner.
That's always good. AM 1500 dining deals, $50 gift certificates for half price. We'll announce a new restaurant every Wednesday during the 3 o'clock hour on GL.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
We are continuing to talk about and cover the details of the bridge collapse here at AM 1500 KSTP, the Talk Station. Trying to further the story, just get as much information as we can as soon as it comes out. A lot of press conferences this morning, lots of information. Susanna Song, 5 Eyewitness News, is down at HCMC. What can you tell us now about the medical situation?
Well, right now, doctors are saying in total 24 of the 79 victims came here to Hennepin County Medical Center. One person died last. Five are in critical condition. 10 are in satisfactory condition. 8 were treated and released overnight. Now, out of the 24, 5 were children, and I asked, well, are they the ones in critical condition? And doctors did confirm the 5 children are doing well. They're improving. They're in satisfactory condition. Doctors and nurses, they were paged just after 6 yesterday when the bridge collapsed. And doctors here say they're proud of just the teamwork and how everyone moved so quickly. We know that there were 10 operations overnight, and a number of ICU beds were empty so that the new victims can come and get treated.
Are there any injuries or from the water? We keep hearing about how the water's cold, and I'm trying to run this down on the water being really cold and causing problems.
Yeah, I asked the doctors about that. I even had questions, were any of the pedestrians hurt? The people
who were good question.
Hanging out under the bridge. And the doctors did say most of them, as far as they could tell, were blunt force trauma to the head, chest, and abdomen, making them think that these victims were all inside their cars when they about 64 feet to the river.
Are they surprised that the number was as few as it is?
Yeah. Dr. John Hick was saying, you know, he was out there just after 6 o'clock and just amazed that only 79...
Hello? I'm sorry, Susanna?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good. Go ahead.
Okay. He said he was amazed because he was out there yesterday. It seemed like it was, you know, a huger deal than what the numbers are telling him today. You know, the numbers are showing only 79 victims.
Wow.
Again, 20 to 30 are still missing.
And we have, do you have a number of dead yet, or?
You know, all morning it keeps fluctuating from 7, then to 9, and then last we heard Minneapolis police are saying 4.
Okay. Anything else new that you can tell me?
No, I mean, we've been kind of based in this area just outside of the emergency room, and doctors haven't informed us of anything new. We were out here around 8 o'clock when they gave us all that information.
How are the families doing?
You know, I spoke with a few family members at the triage center that the Red Cross set up earlier this morning, and a lot of them distraught, you know, because they're the ones who don't know where their loved ones are. These are the missing victims. And they're just trying to locate loved ones. A lot of them, you know, in tears, praying with counselors and pastors. Just so angry over the situation. Doctors say they've spoken with some of the victims here, and, you know, all of them in shock, wanting to see their family and not understanding what really happened because it happened so quickly.
Yes. Well, you're doing a good job, and we'll probably talk to you again later on today.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Susanna Song from 5 Eyewitness News at AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station. She's down at HCMC, and that's, you know, obviously the scene where all the medical stuff is going on. Roger, you're on AM 1500. Good morning.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you, I kind of heard about it at 6 o'clock right away, decided to ride my bike down there in northeast Minneapolis. I was surprised that they had almost stopped the traffic as fast as they did on 35W going south, hardly seen any. I was one of those ones jamming the phone lines with the cell phones. I'm sorry to say it, but there were so many people down from the university in that area.
Yes.
Everybody calling. It was crazy. And I just wanted to say one other thing. Going underneath that bridge several times, you know, you see these huge gears. I don't know if you ever seen them on the pillars kind of holding up the bridge. I would have never thought those things would have ever moved, but apparently, you know, some of that did shifting, and, well, who knows, anyway.
You're talking about the pillars? Is that what you said?
Yeah, these gears that held up the steel structures there were actually gears underneath them for shifting, for movement.
I didn't know that. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
And that was just, over the years driving underneath the bridge, and would have never dreamt, they were there for any sort of movement.
No, that stuff, that looks so permanent until it isn't. That's the thing that's amazing about it. Thank you, Roger.
Yep.
We'll talk to you later. It's bizarre when something like this happens. Tony, you're on AM 1500.
Yeah, just had some comments about the bridge and its theory on collapsing. There's been a few things that the weight of it, the way it fell, it broke from the south end.
It what?
Excuse me. Sorry, I'm drying up. Hold on a moment.
<You're> Are you all right, man?
Sorry. Oh, I'm losing you. Sorry.
All right, I'll talk to you, Tony. He can't take it. Darren, you're on AM 1500.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. It's not really a theory, but I was curious as to why there wasn't a more recent inspection. They had one in 2006, and you'd kind of think that maybe they would do an updated inspection just before they do a big construction project.
I couldn't possibly answer that question. I would think the only thing I would say is that they probably figured they'd done enough. You can read the document on 5 Eyewitness News' website. They've got a link to that document in question if you want to. I don't know that, when I read it, I can't make head or tails of it, but I can't possibly. I'm sure that's a question that did you hear that guy talk about, the construction guys that said that the bridge felt that it was vibrating in a strange way?
Yeah, exactly.
So, there's a lot of questions. That's going to be one of them for sure.
Yeah, I guess if you're working on something that's a major project like that, that's going over the river, not to say that that's exactly what happened, but you'd think that they would do an inspection just before they start working on it, so they knew what they were in.
All due respect, in the timeline, in the timeline of it, 2006 would have been an inspection just before they started working on it. So
okay.
I'm not sure that I'm buying that, but they'll check it out. Who knows? Thanks, Darren. 651-646-8255, toll free 877-615-1500. Talking to people about their experiences as well as theories about whether, why the bridge came down. And I appreciate all the calls and appreciate the theories as long as we keep an open mind about why it happened. Richard, you're on AM 1500.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good.
I was I had a meeting down there, and I left the meeting about 9 and walked across down University Avenue across to the bridge and past Matt Lauer and all the various talking heads that were reporting for the morning news.
Okay.
And it's an awesome sight to see, and so I went across to the Minneapolis side, down one side, and out on the Guthrie Bridge, and that's a different perspective, but you can't get close enough to really observe. But it is, it's amazing to see how that huge structure just literally pancaked, collapsed, tipped over, and it's got to be some kind of catastrophic metal fatigue, I would think.
I'm just glad the thing didn't tip, the main section didn't tip over and just dump all the, it came straight down, which I think...
It came straight down, and thank God people weren't traveling at 30 miles an hour or faster, and people just kind of dropped instead of flew off the bridge.
Oh, because it was a construction zone, they were going slow, is that what happened? It was bumper
to
bumper?
Well, I heard it was bumper to bumper because of the construction zone plus the time of day, and then people going to the Metrodome, and so... One of my colleagues, his wife's car was about 20 back from university coming south, and so she was stuck in traffic and never even got there. But
I can't imagine going through that. Did you see that one car that was literally sitting on a beam, and it didn't even look damaged? How did he get there? It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it makes you a believer in higher powers and question people's priorities and passing inspections and... getting their job done as a bureaucrat sometimes.
Well, again, you don't know if they did anything wrong. So why would you question that?
I don't... Exactly right. You don't know what's going on, and you can't pass judgment. But something occurred, and I'm convinced they'll find out what it was.
Yep, they will. Thank you, Richard. We'll talk to you later. I love it. It's bureaucrats that did this. It's fascinating. Bob, you're on AM 1500.
Hi, I just wanted to toss in an historical event. The boys who were talking about vibration raise an interesting point. Have you ever heard of Gallopin Gurdy, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge that went down in 1940?
Is that the one that was, harmonically vibrating?
Yeah. It's you hit the resonant frequency. It was the wind that hit it.
Yes.
And I think they call it the Von Garman Vortex Trail after a...
And it was a brand new bridge.
Von Garman.
And it was a brand new bridge. That's the thing that's weird about it.
It was nearly new, but it was a matter... At that time, they didn't understand that the wind forces could set up a vibration.
Right.
And if the mass of the vibrating structure is such to match the frequency of the what inducing the vibration, you get resonance. And that's why
that's right.
They design buildings to resist earthquakes. They have this rigid mass of the building outside the range of frequency of earthquakes.
Yeah, that's everyone remembers that picture of the guy on the bridge, and it was a brand new bridge. It had just opened. Wendy, you're on AM 1500.
Hey, Bob. I was just watching the. This is in response to the gentleman who called a couple callers ago, who was talking about why didn't they inspect the bridge before the construction.
No, they inspected it in 2006.
Right,
and
like
2000.
Governor Pawlenty just said on the press conference that. They were in the process of the 2007 inspection. They had started before the construction. They had MnDOT people on site every day. In fact, one of the employees was involved in the collapse, and that the final report would come out after the construction was done. So they were working and inspecting at the time.
Okay. Thanks for that information.
Sure.
That's, you know, one of those details that there's so many things. So
yeah,
thank
you.
Can
only watch so many news. You know,
I know. I mean, you know, it's crazy. Thank you, Wendy.
Yep.
Talk to you later. We're going to take a quick break and come back with traffic and Ken Olson at AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station.
Woo!
Did you just yell woo?
I can't help it. Look at our bottom line.
Woo!
See? See what I'm talking about?
I've never yelled woo before.
Well, you better get used to it, because Comcast Workplace has productivity poppin'. I mean, high-speed internet, cable TV.
Woo.
Don't fight it. Go ahead.
Woo!
Welcome to the land of woo, my friend.
Get your office moving with Comcast Workplace high-speed internet. Now with PowerBoost, you can download large files at speeds up to 12 megs. Plus, our TV service keeps your employees informed and customers entertained. Get Comcast Workplace high-speed internet for $39 per month with any qualifying Comcast Workplace TV package. Call 888-250-3918.
Woo!
Service is not available in all areas. Offer applies to 6-meg high-speed internet service. Custom install and equipment charges, taxes, franchise fees, and other charges may apply. PowerBoost provides a burst of download speed for the first 10 megs of a file, then reverts to the provision speed. Manufacturers expect speeds which vary and are not guaranteed. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
At Compass, we've been bringing more to your table since 1968, and this week we're bringing a really juicy deal to the table of Dana Cook in Zimmerman.
Hey, thanks for coming. Welcome to our house.
Dana, this week at Cub, you can get delicious, whole, seeded, or seedless watermelon for only $3.48 each. These are the freshest, sweetest, juiciest watermelons we could get our hands on, and now through Saturday, they're only $3.48.
That's fantastic.
So how many kids do you have, Dana?
We have 9.
That's got to be a lot of groceries.
We go through about 12 gallons of milk a week. We can eat a watermelon in a single sitting.
$3.48 for a whole watermelon. I mean,
the lowest I've seen yet.
Do you ever carve your watermelon into shapes?
They just eat it so fast, it's not worth it.
It's in the shape of gone.
Just gets crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
Sweet, juicy, delicious, whole-seeded or seedless watermelon for just $3.48 each. Limit one. Now through Saturday at Altman City's Cub stores. And don't forget to save even more on gas. Now you can use up to 3 Cub gas coupons at once and save up to 90 cents a gallon at any Twin Cities holiday store. Offer good now through September 8th. See store for details. Cub, bringing more to your table.
Golfers, come play where the golf world is talking about. The Legend and the Quarry at Giants Ridge. Golf Digest says the Quarry is hands down the finest course in Minnesota and goes on to say it's the best course of the 21st century. The Legend and the Quarry have both received a 4.5-star rating in Golf Digest's Places to Play. The Quarry has a style all of its own, but it is every bit as serene and magnificent as its sister course, The Legend. You won't find two courses of this caliber and yet so distinctly different this close together. The Legend and the Quarry. Two beautiful, challenging courses, one location, Giants Ridge. Built in the wilderness, yet incorporating the amenities of the best, most modern resorts, and doing it all within 3 hours of the Twin Cities. Make your tee times today. For The Legend and the Quarry, go to GiantsRidge.com for more information and for great play and stay packages.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Yes! Just before the top of the hour, almost 11 o'clock at AM 1500 KSTP, the Talk Station. We're covering the bridge collapse, of course, talking about the different elements of it, entertaining your theories as well. Kenny had to go home to sleep because mm-hmm. he's going to be coming back this afternoon. Of course, Carolyn Peterson is here with the traffic update.
Well, you know, it's pretty much what Kenny has put in the light all morning long. Big changes on the freeway system today. Highway 280 been converted into a freeway. All the stoplights have been turned off along 280. Broadway and County Road B are closed at 280. The goal here is to get you from 35W to 94 as fast as possible. And it really worked out well this morning. And it looks like one of the main alternates, 35W to West 694 to East 94 into downtown Minneapolis for those of you folks from the northern suburbs. 25 extra buses into service now from Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, 63rd Avenue in Brooklyn Center, Rosedale Shopping Center, and Roseville City Hall is where you can catch those buses to avoid 35W over the Mississippi River Bridge. And you are listening to continuing coverage of the 35W bridge disaster on AM 1500 KSTP.
Thank you, Carolyn Peterson. We'll keep getting the traffic updates as well. And I think that's going to be the big thing tomorrow is the amount of congestion. And as we return to so-called normal traffic levels, you know, people may have made adjustments today, but tomorrow people will be driving again, so it's going to get crazy. And we'll keep updating you on that, as well as the other stuff going on, press conferences, as well as any live reports from 5 Eyewitness News reporters down there at AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis, the talk station, 11 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Aaron Katursky, live in Minneapolis, where divers have gone back into the Mississippi River to search for more bodies following the I-35W bridge collapse.
We have a number of divers who dive together, working around the clock now to begin the recovery operations.